kicking lyrics right through your brain when you hear this saying to be right as rain.
All right.
If you wanna know the real deal about the three, remember that you would triple trouble, y'all. We're gonna beat you off the screen.
Check it out.
Cause I'm a specializer, rhyme reviser. Ain't selling out to advertisers. What you get is what you see. Come on, and you won't see me.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a new installment of the PVD Cast. I know you heard new music at the beginning, but it's themed because it's Triple Trouble. That's right. I have not one guest, but two guests on this edition of the PVD Cast. Oh, and the first returner.
That's right.
All right, to my left is my buddy Brian, which none of you can see. I don't know why I told you the direction of where he's sitting, but Brian, and then...
not only did he say, he pointed twice.
He's just too embarrassed to say that I'm sitting in his lap, but go ahead.
And my good friend, Mr. John Shaw, joining us here as well.
Thank you very much.
All right, so today, we're going to just discuss a lot of different things. So those folks that are listening, that are avid listeners, are going... Oh, shit. Does this mean no wrestling? No, we're going to fit in some wrestling. Because, Shaw, you got a long history of professional wrestling.
As a fan.
No.
Not as a participant, no.
But as a fan, yes, correct. So we're going to talk about that. I don't really have any house cleaning items, ladies and gentlemen, much to talk about from the last several weeks of episodes of the PVD Cast, which, thanks to No Shame, Jimmy Shane, everybody knows those were recorded. I hate when people break kayfabe. I was so mad at him. I was like, thanks. Thanks so much for just announcing that in the middle of the podcast. But anyways, I digress. So let's just jump on into it. So, Shaw, tell us a little bit about your foray into watching professional wrestling as a kid.
As a child, I stumbled upon it. We didn't have cable. When I was real young, some of my friends at school did, and the first WrestleMania garnered a lot of playground discussion.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't know what they were talking about. It wasn't my thing. And at that point, I started watching it. And guys like Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy and Hulk Hogan and jobbers like Barry O and those sorts of people.
Barry O?
Barry O.
Who was actually Cowboy Bob Orton's brother.
Yes.
Yeah, he was. He was. That's why he went by Barry O. Okay.
And I found it utterly fascinating. The storylines in terms of good versus evil, you knew from the crowd who to root for. I didn't know any of these people. I didn't get the magazines. I didn't get any of that. But the crowd helped me know who was good and who was bad if I didn't already know. That threw me for a loop the first time somebody turned from good to bad. How did that happen?
Well,
you're either all good or you're all bad. That was the way I thought when I was 10 years old.
Now, see, funny you mention that, because I didn't have cable for the longest time, too. But at that time, there was so much wrestling on, you know, like the independent stations, the ones that weren't CBS, ABC, or NBC. So there was a lot on, you know, growing up. So for me,
when
you know,
I found WPTT out of Pittsburgh showing World Class Championship Wrestling from Texas,
yes,
the Von Erichs and the Great Kabuki and the One Man Gang, I didn't know these people. That was a whole revelation that they're in Texas. It's all different.
Yeah, right.
They had events. They ring side by side. They never had two matches going on at the same time.
No.
But I thought, like, there's potential there for something special that they do. I just haven't caught it yet.
There was actually a match, I think, at that Parade of Champions. It was Midnight Express against the Fantastics. And they actually, they would have both, like, both rings had action going on. And I'm like, Bobby Eaton and Bobby Fulton would fight in one ring. And then Dennis Condrey and Tommy Rogers would spill over into the other ring. And they, I think they had it for a big battle royal, the two-ring battle royal. That's what they had assembled that for that one. Yeah, so if this was World Class Wrestling, and we were the Freebirds, who would be who?
I would have to be Bam Bam. You would have to be Michael P.S. Hayes. And
Brian's Buddy Roberts.
Brian's Buddy Roberts.
Sorry, Brian.
I'll take your word for that. I don't know what it means.
You know what? Here's the thing about the Freebirds, though. As many people, even as a kid growing up, people would rag that Buddy Roberts was the lame Freebird.
Yeah.
But he really could work, though. Like, he was the guy that made the good guys, made the faces look great. Because he would go out there and just take everything that they had. he would bump form like crazy. And, you know, he wasn't the badass that Terry Gordy was, and he wasn't the flamboyant one that Michael Hayes was, but he was still a very integral part of the Fabulous Freebirds. So, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, or you know this, but the WWE is dropping a new Best of Mid-South Championship Wrestling DVD, like September... I'm looking at the calendar. I think it's September 10th or the 17th it comes out.
You're going to get it. Let me borrow it, right?
Of course. Of course. It's got all the great stuff. So, but, you know, Ted DiBiase, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Dr. Death Steve Williams, the Fabulous Freebirds. It's going to be awesome.
Sounds like
and Junkyard
Sounds
Dog.
Excellent.
Junkyard Dog. So
may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, a network like Independent Channel, WPGH,
right,
yeah. WPTT.
Oh. 22.
And when we got basic cable and got WTBS and USA, then I got to see the WWF and the NWA. And I fell in love with the NWA, the Four Horsemen.
Yes.
Ole Anderson did not look athletic or physically able or anything, but he was just such a mean, tough old bugger with his dead eye and just... Ole and Arne Anderson, I thought, were just the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. I thought they were just an awesome tag team. The Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard, and Magnum T.A. and his feud with Nikita Koloff. Great America versus Soviet Union.
Yeah, and then they had the Best of Seven for the vacant U.S. Yeah. title. Yeah, that was good TV, because then they would go around, and the winner, it was like the Stanley Cup. You had to win four, yeah. Man. You had to win four, and then you got the title. You know, but who would have thunk it?
I remember, like, it genuinely sucked me in. Magnum T.A., Nikita Koloff, great feud. You have this honest-to-goodness American with the long hair mullet, and the Soviet Nikita Koloff, and the Magnum T.A.'s in a car wreck. Like, for real, like, a legitimate, like...
Yeah. Yep.
Car wreck, and he came back, and he had a cane,
yeah.
and they brought him back, and Nikita Koloff gave him a hug. And I thought, if that doesn't thaw Soviet relations with the United States, nothing will.
So
genuinely...
Cold War over.
Like, Nikita Koloff has genuine human concern for his rival, Magnum T.A.
Shaw is going, Reagan, just go and hug Gorbachev. That's all you need.
Now, without knowing anything, I'm guessing the Best of Seven series went seven.
Yes, yeah, it did go yeah. seven. Yes, of course. Yeah,
you're a good writer.
Yeah, exactly. See? And actually, the truth was, Magnum T.A. was going to be the next NWA World Champ. They were pushing him to beat Flair. He was going to be the next Golden Boy. They had a lot of faith in him that he would go on and rival, you know, Hogan somewhat as a champion. But unfortunately, his career cut very, very short. So...
His thing was he held the top records for fastest pins. They would ring the bell. He would belly to belly suplex you and then get a three count.
That's right. Now, a funny thing, because I watched it and I have it. I have a shoot interview with Kamala, and they talk about Kamala was not very happy with Crockett Promotions because he come in for a couple of dates. I believe he was still with Bill Watts, but they brought him up, and the agreement was that Kamala would look strong. You know, as the agreement, because he was still a big deal. And I'm pretty sure it was Mid-South, but it might have been another promotion. But anyways, in his other promotion, he was still being booked as this monster, unbelievable savage from Africa. And I guess there was a run-in that they were going to book a match with Magnum T.A. And it wasn't a very long match. Magnum T.A. went over with the belly-to-belly suplex. But the agreement was that they were never going to mention it on TV or anything along those lines. And God damn it, if Jim Crockett Promotions didn't show it, and I guess Kamala was pissed about it for a long, long time, because, you know, he was like, well, thanks for doing the right thing and agreeing to do what you're supposed to do, which is not the first time, as I've read, you know, recently, that Jim Crockett didn't do what he was supposed to do, but I digress. So
what happened to all the little... those little companies, did they all get sucked up?
Well, they did. They did. Okay. So, all right. Yeah. So, Brian, in the 70s, well, as far back as one can remember, there were different territories with different promoters. Mm-hmm. And so, basically, you would have the United States carved up into different territories. The Graham family ran Florida, but predominantly not the panhandle. The rest of Florida, because the panhandle of Florida was also in with Alabama, Mississippi, and that was Gulf Coast. And then you had Jim Crockett Promotions, which was predominantly the Mid-Atlantic states. The WWF at the time was predominantly Northeast, like New England, New York City, Philadelphia, part of Ohio, Pittsburgh, that area up in there, and so on and so forth. So, but yeah, all those little companies ended up, originally, a lot of the territories were part of the NWA, which was a gigantic, what would you say, federation, yes, if you will, federation of different promoters, Brian, and it was headed by nine promoters, and they would make decisions on the world title and who got it. And if you were the world champion, like Flair, for an example, Ric Flair, you were expected to go to all these other little territories and defend the title.
Yeah.
So Flair would literally go to Florida and wrestle for a couple weeks in Florida, you know, almost every single night. And then he would pack up and go to Texas and defend in world class against the Von Erichs. And then go to Portland and defend against Roddy Piper or Billy Jack Haynes or whoever. And that's how you worked it. In the late 80s, a lot of these territories became independent, like world class decided that they were going to do something on their own, and they became their own independent company, which unfortunately that decision was not real good for them because they eventually went out of business. I say the rule of thumb is this, and I say this, I think every really good wrestling company goes out of business. Like the really best, and here, proof. Southwest Championship Wrestling, which by the way was the first wrestling on USA Network. It wasn't WWF.
So that predates my
Network. Well, and I didn't have it either, but I managed to. I was doing some research, and I bought actually at Walmart. They had a 5-disc DVD set that was like $10, and it's called Wrestling Gold, but it's all Southwest Championship Wrestling. And so I started reviewing it, and it was a promotion out of San Antonio, and in 1982 when USA came on, and actually I did some further research. USA Network was the merging of two other New York State TV stations, and then it became a superstation, so to speak, you know, pun intended. And so they wanted programming, and so they went to Southwest Championship Wrestling, and they were on from 82 to 85. And then basically what happened was that USA wasn't going to televise an incredibly bloody and violent match, and they got pissed, and they're like, well, you know, you broke the contract. And then Vince swoops in and goes, hey, I got $7,000 a week. Would you like to air the WWF? So, and there you go. But yeah, I think every great wrestling promotion goes under. I really believe that. Like, Southwest Championship Wrestling went under. World Class, a favorite of mine, went under. ECW went under. More recently, and though I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but Shikara looks like it's done.
Oh.
Shikara Wrestling looks like it's done, and there's a lot of... But obviously, in the world of professional wrestling, there's... 90% of me believes they're done, but 10% of me think this might be an elaborate work. I'm being serious about that. I'm like, ah, man, you know... And part of that 10% of me hopes that that's correct, because I really like Shikara. But there's a lot of... And I'm not going to go into it, because there's supposedly some personal issues with the promoter, the guy that runs it, and that's why it's going under, et cetera, et cetera, even though they claim that's not true, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that's just the way it is. Like, and I equate it to, like, if you have, like, a really great pizza place, a mom-and-pop pizza place, it just eventually can't compete with Papa John's or Pizza Hut, and it goes out of business, and you're like, shit, man, that was really good pizza, you know? So to answer your question, they all end up just fizzling out. So...
So if WWE is the number one, right, obviously the biggest one, what is easily the second biggest one out there right now, the promotion?
You're talking just in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay, I think number two is TNA, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. Three would be most definitely Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're looking globally, I think WWE is still number one, but then I think you have to look at either New Japan Wrestling or... one of the Mexican promotions. They have two big ones, CMLL and AAA. And I don't know. I haven't seen attendance figures, but I'm going to say one of those. But I would say New Japan would be probably number two.
Now, do the Japanese or the Mexican wrestling, do they ever do shows here in the U.S.?
Yeah, they do. I don't think this year, but last year and the year before that, New Japan came over and ran a couple of shows, and showcased some of their guys. Mexico, AAA has done some shows in Southern California, here and there, but I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know. It's never really caught on, per se. So. And then, of course, there's Puerto Rican wrestling, too, but that's been kind of, I don't think they draw as well as they used to, you know, which is shocking, given the fact that all those people believe it, hook, line, and sinker, so, or used to. I mean...
When you guys were little kids, did you see the WrestleManias when they were on? How did you see them? They were pay-per-views still, weren't they?
No, the first ones were closed-circuit TV. You had you had to go to like an arena to watch them. I never got.
Well, that shit. There were if you had the satellite dish at home. Remember the big satellite dish?
Big as your car satellite dish.
I had an uncle who had one of those, and that's where I saw them. He would pull them in on his satellite dish.
I had a cousin that had one of those, but it wasn't until like the '90s that I got to start going out to their house and watching them. But but I mean, even the first couple WrestleManias, no, Brian, you had to go to an arena. Like there was no pay per view; it was closed circuit TV only. For a couple of the Starcades and WrestleMania and that. Yeah, so for me, it wasn't until like 1990 that I started to go. And I'm trying to think. I think the first one I ever saw at my cousin's house was the Survivor Series 90, where like Hogan and The Undertaker wrestled. Like there was a big controversy and nobody won the title. And then they had to have the Tuesday in Texas the following week. And it was the one where did Jake sick the snake on Randy Savage and he bit him on the arm?
Yes.
Was that Survivor Series or was that Tuesday in Texas? I don't remember, but I think that time period. Yeah, I think it was Tuesday in Texas. Was it that he bit him? Okay. So it was that was the first Survivor Series I watched.
One of your loyal listeners will correct us if we're wrong.
You know it.
Someone's Googling right now.
Oh, I know. You know, the funny story, Jeremy Madrock sent me a tweet as soon as he listened to the Juice Jennings podcast a couple of episodes ago where I made these Twilight Zone reference. Mm-hmm. He gave me the title. That's with Burgess Meredith. Called, yeah, exactly.
Breaks his glass.
Boom. And boom, right away.
All the time in the world to read, right?
Yeah, right. So, most definitely some of the loyal listeners out there will correct us if we are incorrect on that. So
I told him when I was here last time when we talked, you brought up a James Bond movie. I said, I believe that's a Roger Moore one. You said, absolutely. Literally, you know, a couple hours after you dropped the podcast, I got a text, you're an asshole, that was Sean Connery.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No,
What was we were talking about? I can't remember which one we were talking about.
I'll have to look at my text and see.
Oh, wait, was it was Diamonds Are Forever?
Might have been, yeah.
Because I think we were talking about the Kappa movie series. Yep. Yeah, here in Columbus, so. Yeah.
Quick to correct. That's
of course. Well, that's all right. I don't claim to be perfect. I'm not Mr. Perfect because he has passed away.
See, I remember going to my uncle's house, though, and watching the Hogan Andre the Giant. What WrestleMania was that? Wasn't that an early one?
That was 3, mm-hmm. So that might have been, I don't know, it might have been available on pay-per-view then.
Let me correct that. This wasn't pay-per-view. This was him with a big satellite pulling in a feed that he wasn't supposed to. Like, even when you saw newscasts, when they would cut to commercials, you'd see the newscaster, you know, BSing off camera and get... Yeah, he was able to pull in these satellite feeds with this...
Has the statute of limitations expired on this before we admit this on a public forum?
None of the three of us did it.
Yeah, that's right.
Brian has some mythical uncle that supposedly did it.
Who committed major felonies.
Yeah, but he would videotape him. He'd tape
him. Now that's illegal.
Yeah. I would go to his house and watch him, and then, of course...
I remember I went to New Year's Eve one time out at my cousin, because my cousin had... It was my first cousin, and then they had kids, and they were my second cousins, and they liked wrestling. So I went out and had a New Year's Eve one time, and that's all I did was, can we reposition the satellite to watch USWA wrestling? Oh, you know, that's all we did. But on that very evening, and I'm going to get flack for this, because I was probably 14 years old and should have known fucking better. I didn't realize that... There were multiple New Year's Eve celebrations because of the time zones. And I was like completely thrown off by, wait a minute, Dallas? What? It's, oh, what? Oh, yeah, they're in a different time zone. It's when they're dropping the ball. Never mind. I don't know. I feel stupid admitting that. But anywho, that's the truth. But speaking of which, real quick, Brian, to switch subjects, I put you on the spot the last time you were on here about your top 10 movies.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to rattle off some of them now or no?
Well, yeah, we can do that. I mean, okay. I get to grab it. It's in the next room. My phone with the list.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Get the list. We'll let you shoot those off, if you will. I feel bad that I got you on that one, but anywho.
So anyhow, I ended up kind of drifting away from watching wrestling. And then I met you, and you're enthusiastic about wrestling in college, and went to a couple pay-per-views, and then I fell away again. And then I started dating a girl who turns out is into wrestling. And I started watching it again in 99.
Nice!
And again, went over her house to ostensibly to watch Monday Night Raw. But the one thing I had to do before it started, and she got distracted, was pull out the engagement ring and ask her to marry me.
And then we
made our phone calls, and then we watched Raw.
Nice. That's romantic. That's the way it should be done, son.
Right before a wrestling match. Are you serious? That's hilarious.
Went over to her house.
I'm sitting here wondering, what girl's he talking about? Oh, the one he married. Okay.
Went over to her house like 10 minutes early.
His wife!
Ryan watched Raw, as we do on Mondays. And I had spent the weekend actually up here groundhog hunting unsuccessfully all weekend. Went home Monday night. Had the ring in my pocket and went over to watch Raw.
Do you know,
a minute or two alone?
In OCW history, we actually had a couple come and spend their reception at an OCW event in Hebron, Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, he still had his tux on. She had her wedding dress on. He actually ended up training and being a wrestler.
That's awesome. It's fully integrated into their lives.
It's a full circle, yes.
See, that would be a better story, though, if Marianne had said, okay, yeah, after, wait.
No, that's what I said. I had a 10-minute window. We go down to the rec room so our parents aren't around, and we're going to get set up, and we're going to get ready, and
can this wait? The wrestling's about to start. So she was, I didn't know that, she was a fan of wrestling.
She was a fan, yeah.
Did you do anything funny, like,
no.
Do you smell la-la-la-la what the Shaw is cooking?
No,
give her the ring?
Funny.
Nothing?
No.
Oh, okay. I think
pulled it out and knelt down and put the ring out and knelt down, and she went white out of surprise. And
all right.
Pretty much didn't have to say anything. She knew what was supposed to happen.
Okay.
What wrestling event was this?
Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw. Yeah. It wasn't even a pay-per-view.
No, it was our regular Monday evening.
Monday night, okay.
And then I kind of fell away from it again, so did she. I'll tell you when. When Mark Henry had a romantic interlude with Mae Young, who's 80 years old, and he gets her pregnant, and she gives birth to a rubber hand.
What?
That was the point I said,
you know what, Brian.
I can buy into a lot, I don't have to believe it, but I can be entertained, this is just stupid, and I think I'm done. And that was, I rarely turn on the WWE anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, that actually happened, Brian, true story.
That doesn't even sound remotely plausible.
I believe that was a Vince Russo idea, because Vince Russo had all the great ideas. Yeah, you know.
I mean, they showed her in labor, and she's given birth, and it's a rubber hand. And, oh, rubber hand, and they just tossed it aside. And that was the end of the storyline. It just ended there. No, I think I'm done. I'll buy into a lot of stuff. I'll go along with a lot of stuff. That's just stupid.
See, and therefore, I always bitch and complain about when they never end. Like, they just drop a storyline. But I would have actually been okay with that one. Like, they're just like, we're done.
Mae Young could have just faded away. And
exactly.
That was it. And,
exactly.
What happened to her baby with Mark Henry? Nothing. Just don't worry about it.
Shh.
That would have been okay.
Shh. Well, it did show back up. Like, they had an anniversary episode of Raw. That gag showed back up again. Again. So, it was, it was bad. Very bad.
So, I'm surprised Marianne is into wrestling. You were into wrestling. Do you have your two daughters, have they shown any interest in wrestling?
Uh-oh.
Have you flipped past it on television?
No, my Anna, the oldest, would watch it with us, and she knew the characters when she was young.
Yeah.
The youngins don't. We don't watch it between the profanity and the, what they know.
Well, no, there's no profanity now. This is the clean WWE the last couple of years, you know. That's probably why many...
Well, I haven't watched it. So they don't...
If there's a wrestling version of High School the Musical, they'll be there.
Right. Teen Beach Movie, something like that with wrestling. That
well, they actually awesome. Have they have a show on the CW now that's targeted towards little kids. It's called Saturday Morning Slam. It's a half hour. And there's like two matches. And then like, kids, make sure you brush your teeth.
I'm not entirely sure I have the CW.
Oh, because that's right. You have DirecTV, right?
DirecTV, yeah. All right. It might be there somewhere and I can't find it. I don't know.
Well, then how do you watch Arrow? It's on the CW.
I had Hulu for a while.
Oh, all right.
I dropped Hulu, and I don't even watch Arrow.
But Barry Allen's coming this season. All right. The Flash.
I'll find it. It's got to be on the interweb somewhere.
Is there any way they're going to be able to have a Flash on there and have it not look ridiculous? I mean, is it?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's possible.
Do you remember the old Flash
with the wings and the side of the head?
Yeah, with who was that? That was on that show.
Idea.
John Wesley Shipp. That's who it was. John Wesley Shipp, he was, I remember that, as a kid in the high school, I loved The Flash. Like, it was kind of hokey and campy, but I dug it, you know, it was all right.
I haven't seen any of Arrow, I don't know, is it any good?
Arrow, I gotta say, I had very low expectations, because I mean, what network it's on has a particular reputation for not having very good shows, or very
cheap.
Hokey shows, yeah. But it's actually done pretty well. There's still some silliness here and there, and I'm like, eh,
yeah,
you know, but...
Campiness.
Campiness, but, so... But
for a CW product, it's aces.
Now, I'm also excited for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Yeah.
That should be good. I'm
Is
looking
that
forward
CW
to it.
As well?
No, that's
ABC.
Oh, that's right, that's ABC. Yeah,
that's
right.
ABC. That's Tuesdays at 8, which is the old Buffy time slot, if you will. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. I think those are the only two things, I mean... I'm really excited for. I don't know how we blend it into TV shows, but
yeah,
I think that's
it.
It's
free
that's
association.
All. That's right, man. It's like if you went and seen a Beatnik poet or Lenny Bruce.
Or Lenny Bruce.
Anyways, your movies. What was on your top 10 list? Pull out that awesome cell phone of yours.
Yeah, it can't hold a candle to yours, of course. But that's
enough.
Right.
Enough. I do have a fascinating story about that. Oh,
about
I told
phone?
You the story. Yeah, about trying to get a new phone and they tried to charge me an upgrade fee. I'm like, you can stick that up your butt because I'm paying you $200 for a phone. That's a big enough upgrade, you jerks. All right. So, enough about my phone or my phone issues. All right, here we go.
Oh,
what do you got? Let's go. You got your phone. Let's do the top 10 list.
Let's just play. Last time we talked about movies, you wondered
right.
what the... We mentioned we started by talking about network.
Correct.
And you
yes.
said, you said network's in your top 10. What is your 10? And I had... Yeah, I had no idea right off the top of my head right then. But
it's okay.
Threw together 10 the other day. I said, this will do for now. So we're going to go with, we're going to start with Citizen Kane.
Okay.
Which you were supposed to see in a
well,
theater,
yes.
but didn't get the chance to. But I actually brought a copy of it if you want to take that. We got Network. I threw a Hitchcock on there. I went Rear Window.
Rear
like Vertigo, but I've
no,
Vertigo.
I
can't hold a candle to
of the yeah of the two. I mean Vertigo's good, but yeah, Rear Window is phenomenal.
Rear Window is the best. I had to throw a Kubrick in there. I go Clockwork Orange. Everybody like I just love that movie. Think it's perfect. It's
I'm not a fan. We will agree to disagree on that.
Really?
One. I'm not a fan of Clockwork
so
Orange.
Who would you go Kubrick if you had to grab a Kubrick? What? Shining, 2001. Barry Lyndon.
Barry Lyndon.
I would go Dr. Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove.
That's what I would pick if I had to put a Kubrick film. But I'm not the biggest Kubrick fan. I will admit to that.
You'll get no argument from me on Strangelove. That is, it's not only just a fantastic movie, it is hysterical. And even though Peter Sellers is the one who gets the credit, George C. Scott is insanely funny
mm-hmm.
in that movie.
I will give you
just
that.
Just from beginning to end.
Give you that.
I threw a Coppola on there. Everybody loves Godfather, but I go Apocalypse Now. I can watch that movie over and over and over again. I have several different versions, from a 4-hour to a 6-hour cut, but even
six
the original.
Hours, way too many,
yeah,
too many
but
hours.
I just, I love
yeah.
the movie. I think
it's
I love Martin Sheen and Brando's great in it. To go with a Scorsese, which I had to do, I go Goodfellas because it never gets old.
Yeah, I you know what? I agree. Even when it's on like AMC or whatever, I'll watch it if there's nothing
there,
on. Yeah, well, no,
I mean the sense that kid.
Yeah,
the,
I mean right, no, 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 but
dubbing.
I still enjoy it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. The dubbing's awful. I own it on DVD, but yeah, I agree with you.
And you can go on forever. I mean, with Scorsese, it's you know Taxi Driver, and you can, there's a million great movies. That you, but man, that one just can't be beat. Coen Brothers, big fan. I go Fargo. Threw that on there. Love it.
I agree with Fargo.
Dark comedy. Amazing story. Also, really funny.
But, see, I'm very hit and miss with the Coens. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Sure.
Like, Barton Fink, I thought, sucked.
I don't like Barton Fink.
It was, yeah, I didn't like it, but...
Both wrong.
I didn't like it, but yet, you know, I liked O Brother, Where Art Thou, you know?
Love it.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, my wife won't let me have it on the TV when she's in the house. I watch it anytime it's on. She's got to be out of the house.
Yep, I know that for a fact. I've heard that
so,
before.
You know. Raising Arizona was okay.
No. Raising Arizona is fantastic. Right, yeah. And well, Lebowski.
Lebowski's phenomenal. Yes,
no
hands
Country
down.
No Country for Old Men is great. I love all of it. But Fargo, to me, they're just firing on all cylinders.
By the way, the Drexel here in Columbus is going to start their autumn or fall midnight showings, nice. Like on Saturdays, and Lebowski's one of them.
Yeah. Lebowski, even in Pittsburgh, I think it plays at least once or twice a month at midnight. There's
really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's just constant.
Cool.
Yeah, the last three are real. These are just personal. I mean, I love these three movies. Woody Allen's Manhattan from the late 70s.
I've never seen it.
Black and White, Ira Gershwin music. It's funny. It's really fantastic. It's my favorite
I've never
movie
seen
of his.
It.
Don't worry about cracking it down, Tom.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
It's a great movie. Really good. And I go with Do the Right Thing is a movie that I just absolutely love as well. I barely ever can make it through to the end without breaking down. It's a movie just wrecks me. I think it's funny.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny. It's dramatic. It's got some really good stuff in there. Great acting.
Okay.
Danny Aiello, John Turturro.
Everybody
in there. Just a really good movie.
I will go out and say that Do the Right Thing, I think, is the best Spike Lee film.
Oh, easily.
Easily
the best.
Malcolm X is just too goddamn long. It's good, but it takes forever to get through, and I don't think the pacing is very good.
No, and quite frankly, there's documentaries on Malcolm X
that are better,
as good, and they're better. Yeah, there's a ton of film footage of him out there, and
exactly. Wait, really, do you have There Will Be Blood on
and
there?
There Will Be Blood is the last one on my list.
That's cool.
I'm a huge mark for P.T. Anderson. I love his movies, every one of them, and that's the one that I've probably seen a dozen times easily. I think I saw it four times in the theater. It's just, it's a great performance by Daniel Day-Lewis, and it's a really great story. Just
as a side note, I was at Gallery Hop last weekend, and so Rivet is an art gallery down in the Short North, and they have. On their wall, they had these small little, they look like small little saucers, right? A saucer plate. But they were actually like that pin, like, what is that called? Like, where you do the threading?
Cross-stitch.
Cross-stitching, yeah, okay. So they had these cross-stitching
I know where this is
panel,
going.
And then there would be a panel of the saucer with a character drawn on it, right? Or painted, right? And there was different mediums of the paint. But they had one, they had Daniel Day-Lewis there as Plainview. There's Plainview. A Daniel Plainview? Yeah, Daniel Plainview. Yep. And then the cross-stitching said, I drink your milkshake! Yeah, which I was like, awesome. Awesome.
That is great. I would hang that in my house.
Oh, badass. They had a bunch of them there. I would say, okay, if I'm going to give my top 10, and I didn't prepare like you, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Shaw, are you sweating now because you're like, shit, I don't have a top 10.
I'll make stuff up.
Carry on. All right, I'm going to go. Memento is on my list, top 10. I thought it was phenomenal.
That's Nolan, right?
Christopher Nolan. Yeah. Clerks.
Love it.
Because it literally made me realize that you could make a film dirt cheap and it still would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with my favorite documentary, Why We Fight. I think that's a really good one. Yep. I mean, it's thought-provoking. It's good. I'm going to throw on there because even though it doesn't follow the book a lot, I still... To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh,
I think it's a really good movie. It still holds up.
Yep.
I like it a lot. And I like the book, first of all.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite books. And so I'm going to hold on to that one. I'm going to say Pulp Fiction to represent Tarantino. I think that Pulp Fiction was a good... I think it was the first of his films I ever saw because I didn't see Reservoir Dogs first. I saw it later.
Mm.
So, and I think it made an impact on me that was, you know, really, really good.
That was my runner-up 10, yeah. That's easily his best movie, too.
Yeah, I think easily. I think so, too. I'm trying to think other things I would put on there. Oh, man. Shaw, you can jump in. I put Network on there. Network I would put on there. I would say, but it's hard-pressed. I would say either Star Wars, or Empire.
Or combine them as one.
Or combine them as one.
Pretend
you know. Or actually, you know what? Actually, I know Return of the Jedi gets ragged on, but I'd throw it in there too. I'd say the original trilogy of those.
There you go.
I think that those.
There were only three, right?
As far as I'm concerned. And Black Dynamite goes on there as a great spoof parody film. So that's eight. I've counted. That's eight. Shaw, I'll let you go.
All right. I'll give you 10 movies that I will watch.
Okay.
If they're on, I'll
watch
wherever
favorites
they
then.
Are.
Okay.
Wherever
right.
they are
there
in the
go.
Movie, I will right. want to watch. Oh, Brother or Art, that was the number one.
Okay.
Between the music and the scrubbiness and the overalls and the dust. the music's great.
Tim Blake Nelson.
And George Clooney is funny.
Yeah.
Shit,
awesome.
Yeah, oh. He is good.
Now, and the wife loves George Clooney, but not in that, with his stubble and his dirt and his overalls. He's just not no, an accent. The woman won't tolerate a southern accent or banjo music.
And that's got so, both of them in space.
So, Oh Brother Where Art Thou is one.
Okay.
Yeah. Empire Records is
one. Oh, okay.
Love it.
Okay.
Again, music, mm-hmm. love it.
Tyler.
Liv Tyler's yeah. first big movie, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Casablanca. I owned it. I got a special anniversary edition on VHS. There were days I'd come home from college, and that would be what I'd do.
That is in my room.
Put it
room.
In
yeah, right.
and just watch it.
I overlooked that one.
Rear Window.
Mm. Yeah.
Mentioned.
Yeah, I should have put that there. Window. There's my ninth. There you go. I'll go Rear Window as well.
Reservoir Dogs over Pulp Fiction because I saw it first, and it was utterly fascinating
mm-hmm.
how Quentin Tarantino made movies. I wasn't familiar with that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Loved it. Utterly fascinating. Was sucked into the story and Kaiser Solse and his history in
yeah.
Europe. Utterly fascinating. I'd like them to make a prequel about him growing up in the old
Pete
country.
Pete Postlewaite is so awesome in there. Yeah,
yeah.
I love
yeah.
him.
The Empire Strikes Back. I the best out of however many movies they've made. That one, like, got me.
Yeah.
Out of it. By the time Return of the Jedi came out and I learned what an Ewok was, I was angry at George Lucas with an anger that still holds today. The minute I learned they were originally intended to be Ewoks, but he'd sell more merchandise if he catered to small children.
Well, no, they were originally
they were
supposed
be
to be Chewbacca.
Chewbacca Wookiees. Yeah.
Well, that's just, he's selling out for merchandise instead of making a good movie that I want to watch.
Done with him. Him and
he is dead to me.
while Han was frozen in carbonite, he made Raiders of the Lost Ark. Went to see that in the theater. Utterly, like, I couldn't wait to come home and tell my dad about this awesome movie.
Mm-hmm.
It had Nazis and shooting and stuff, and I'm a second grader, and it just was just a life-changing event, Raiders of the
okay.
Lost Ark.
All right.
How many is that? Eight?
That's eight. I have my tenth, Watchmen.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, Watchmen.
Love it. Love
because
it.
I love the book, and it
yeah.
holds so true to the book. No, not exactly, but still the changes they made were fine by me. So
excellent.
That's
yeah,
that's mine.
Really a good movie.
I say The Big Red One, Lee Marvin, Mark Hamill.
Wow.
Again, when it's on, I have to watch it. It's
you're
like
going to have to help me with that one.
Anti-war Vietnam era World War II movie.
I just got it,
but,
and I'm having trouble making through it. It's I don't know. I guess maybe I expected something else.
The first time I watched it, I got in, so now I watch it every time. I think they're better
yeah.
World War II movies. They're better movies from that era about World War II, kind of like anti-war movies from.
And it's
from
got a weird history to where, like, you know, when
yes.
it was first, they cut a bunch of stuff out of it, and then they put it back together years later after Sam Fuller died, and. I just got it recently and been diving into it a little bit. I think maybe 40 minutes in or something, but it seems aimless, but realistic. I don't know. I like it. I mean, so far, I'm into it a little bit. It reminds me of Patton a lot, actually, the movie.
Speaking of Star Wars real quick, I heard mm-hmm. Tuesday that their ABC has commissioned that they want to do Star Wars TV shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
So on based on different characters.
I'm sure they'll stink.
Live action.
Well, yeah, live action, right. Well, I don't know, because I would like to think that J.J. Abrams is going to do a good job on these new movies.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that, because J.J. Abrams has done some good stuff. He's also done some crap, too.
But he handled Star Trek beautifully.
He's handled Star Trek so far so good. All right, so, but I'd like to think that he's going to do well, and I would like to think that the TV show would be, you know, in the same vein as J.J. Abrams, and it would actually be good. But I don't know. How about worst movies? Movies you hate?
That's a good question.
I have mine.
All right, throw them out there.
Okay. I do not like Vulgar, which is a Kevin Smith film. Nah, which, well, it wasn't a film. He's behind it, but it's a Brian Johnson film.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. And I think that for those that are going to go and try to Google this or interested. Okay, so it's basically Brian O'Halloran is a loser that doesn't have a very good job, and he decides to come up with this idea to make money, as he will be this clown that somebody could hire. Like, if Brian was getting married, I'd go, ha, 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 I'm going to pull a fast one on Brian. I'm going to hire a stripper. But before the stripper gets there, I'm going to hire this revolting clown to come and give him a lap dance. Ha, 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 that'll be funny.
Yeah.
Okay, right off the bat, I'm going, this is not going to work, because if that was me, I'd beat the shit out of you.
Horrible premise for a business.
Yeah.
It's a terrible
premise. And I think if they would have showed it work, it would have been, like, I could have gotten behind it and go, okay. Well, basically what happens is, indeed, what I said happens, is a bunch of redneck inbred hillbillies fucking rape him, and then it's this whole how he deals with that, and it's not very well done.
I've just heard how horrible it is,
but the outtakes, they have some outtakes that were actually really good that should have been in the film. But okay, so Vulgar's there,
never saw it.
Bois Moi, which is unanimously known as this over the top French film. By the way, Bois Moi means rape me.
It's
awful. You've seen it. Yeah, it's terrible. It's predictable. I don't have a problem with sex and violence in a movie, but when it's just in there just to be in there, because, oh, look at us. We have sex in our film. It just does nothing for me. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Wasn't a fit. You were looking forward to it too, weren't you?
Let me just tell you right now, Brian. John Orlando waited 25 years for a G.I. Joe movie. And that's what they gave me. I felt violated.
Have you seen the second one yet?
No, I refuse to. I'm not seeing it. I don't give a shit. I don't care. Like, I have somebody going, oh, I have a friend that's like, you should watch it. It's pretty good. It's you know, I think it sticks true to the mythology. No, I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to go see it. No.
Slingshot. The one gave birth to a rubber hand. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's my Mae Young giving birth to a rubber hand. Yeah, I'm done. Let me see. So those are three. There's another one that I can't
think of like popular movies.
Yeah.
Like Blas, no, I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Blas,
okay.
Blas. So but when I think of popular movies that I can't stand.
Okay. All right.
Titanic.
I have never seen Titanic ever.
I just it doesn't sit well with me. And
okay.
Won an Oscar. Yeah.
Historically, you want to look bad Oscar winners?
Yeah.
I that's be top of my list. It just doesn't sit well. And I'm historically
Crash.
Oriented.
Ugh.
Crash. I think I lasted half an hour.
Hated
okay.
It.
You know what? And here
not
we're gonna start.
Not the Cronenberg one, but
I was gonna say the Cronenberg Crash is on my list of bad movies that
I
can't stand. I like David Cronenberg stuff too, but I don't like Crash. That's a By the way, the 1994 movie, not the one with Sandra Bullock and Ludacris.
That's the one I hate. I can't stand that.
Anyways,
movie. It's so
over the top bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Crash.
Titanic. Crash.
And Titanic. And most of Woody Allen stuff. I'm sorry.
How
dare you, sir?
I don't.
What about
I'm
talking about the 70s one. No Bananas or Sleeper.
No.
Annie Hall. No.
Oh,
Mighty Aphrodite.
I don't get Annie Hall. I don't get it. I started Mighty Aphrodite. The minute they brought out the Greek choir, I clicked.
Done.
And I understand like the cultural and the historical reasoning for that click.
Okay.
This is a film. It's not a play. If I want to watch a play, I'll watch a play.
I'm used to the hate on Woody. It's okay. I can take it.
What's on your worst list?
When he started talking about Oscar winners, like I said, that Crash comes immediately to mind. I was so mystified as to why anybody thought that was... I didn't understand it in the least. It seemed like a bad after-school sitcom about how, you know, racism is bad, and let's dig a 2-hour
maybe G.I. Joe the Rise of Cobra, they could have done the PSAs at the end.
Yeah,
because remember, kids, racism is bad. G.I. Joe. Now we know, and knowing is half the battle. Right.
I didn't make it through G.I. Joe. Did you make it to the whole
thing? Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, you went to the theater.
I know. I went to the theater.
Nice.
Wearing my Destrone Baroness t-shirt. And I was so... I gave it a D, because I'll tell you why. At least Eccleston. What's his first name? David Eccleston,
mm-hmm.
who played Destro, was good,
mm-hmm.
but he was the only good part of the movie. Seriously, I mean, and Sierra Miller was good to look at as the Baroness, but yeah. that was about it. Like they messed up that whole storyline, which was terrible.
You don't think adding Bruce Willis to the sequel made it good?
No, probably not. Probably not. But anyway, so anything else in your bad movies?
You know. I watched so much. The other night I watched... I love Danny Boyle. He did,
Trainspotting.
Trainspotting. That 127 Hours, which was fantastic.
Yep.
And
yep.
his new one was called Trance, and it just made me really angry. It was just god-awful.
Well, wait. Twist, we just heard last twist. Night that that's a great movie.
Yeah, somebody thought
it was great.
Somebody enjoyed it, and I smiled and nodded at
but,
it. Yeah.
As a side note, that same person that enjoyed it also thought that Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls was a decent movie,
horrible
too.
Horrible movie.
Terrible.
Really
horrible
awful.
Movie.
Yeah.
As much as I loved Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Uh-oh.
Exactly.
And Temple of Doom was my first, movie... Like, I didn't have a birthday party. I had a couple friends. My parents took us to see the Temple of Doom, and that was awesome.
It was.
And The Last Crusade was about the Crusades, so that was good.
And it had Sean Connery.
And it had Sean Connery.
It's a win.
And the Crystal Skull. I don't know how it turns out, because I haven't finished it. I know there's aliens. Not to ruin it for anybody, my apologies.
Oh, yeah, the movie's only 4 years old. I mean...
Hey, I ruined Citizen Kane for a buddy.
No!
I thought it was common knowledge what Rosebud was, and
man.
I ruined it for him as we sat down to watch it.
Oh, man.
The movie, it's 50 years old at that point, and I just assumed.
Oh, man. Oh, unfortunate. Unfortunate, man. Well, anywho... so nothing else on the list? That's it?
Threw a few out there. Yeah, I just promise everybody, don't all watch Trance. It's really horrible.
What are you looking forward to that's coming in the theater, Brian? Yeah, since you're a big movie geek, if you will, what are you looking forward to?
No, Third Internet. What's coming out later this year?
I'm interested because we talked about this last night, you and I did, Blue Jasmine. It's a Woody Allen film, and I know that's when you said, well, it's not going to be as good as this old stuff, but... I'm curious to see how Louis C.K. and Andrew Dice Clay, how they do, because they've gotten rave reviews.
Yeah, I was the casting of that one is beyond... And who's the lead that plays Blue Jasmine?
Oh, crap.
Kate? Is it Kate Blanchett?
Maybe? No. Kate Blanchett's in it, but the...
Yeah, she's not the lead.
Shoot, she's not the lead. I can't remember.
I thought it was the woman who sleeps in a museum. What's her name?
Tall...
Yeah, real tall.
Lady was in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
The witch.
Yeah.
Toni Collette?
No.
No.
Oh, no. Tilda Swinton. Tilda Swinson, yeah.
I don't know if it's her.
I don't think it's her. No, she's not Blue Jasmine. It's somebody else because she's got dark hair, and I can't remember what. I can't remember who it is. Charles looking it up. That's it.
I'm looking forward to Batman and Superman next year. Yeah. I want to see that. That's great. Put them together immediately. Make that happen.
I'm going to say I'm looking forward to Old Boy, the Spike Lee revisioning of that. Really?
You think it's going to be? I mean, yeah, I'll watch it. I love that movie so much, but you know, so
I'm looking forward to it.
Freak me out. Sometimes the remakes work. But.
Right. I think culturally it's going to be better because I'll understand what the hell's going on. You know, because in the original, he's watching the TV. For those that don't know, the plot is a gentleman is kidnapped.
Yep.
And he's held captive for 15, 20 years in his in this own little room. And all he has is a television to watch the world events unfold, which is, one of the events is, since he's a very prominent architect, I think, is the murder of his wife and the kidnapping of his kid. And, but there's all these other Korean events that I didn't understand. So the American one, sitting there and watching, you know.
Do you think they're going to stick with that storyline, though? Do you think they're going to, and we're not going to talk about what the twist is.
Right, yeah, no, well...
It's pretty heavy stuff for an
American
movie. I don't know if they will or not.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's Spike Lee. Yeah, I'll check it out. I'll definitely see it. But man, I love that original. I hope they stick true to it. It's Who stars in it? It's Josh Brolin, right?
Josh Brolin,
the main guy, which is good.
Yeah. Oh my God, it is Kate Blanchett. I'm thinking, okay, I was thinking Hawkins. Sally Hawkins is a bit part. So it was Kate Blanchett.
That is
blue.
Apparently, Tilda Swinton's not in it.
Nah, yeah, that was a mistake. She's busy in a museum sleeping in a box.
I'm looking. How about Machete Kills?
Yeah,
the follow-up.
Machete was fun.
Those
are good DVDs when they come out. I probably won't rush to a theater to see it. But
anyway. One I am not looking forward to that comes out in December because I've read the book and I don't particularly like the book is Ender's Game.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know. And that's what I've read about. I don't know anything about it.
No. Ben Kingsley's got tattoos and looks like Darth Maul.
He looks like Hakushi. Do you remember Hakushi?
Yeah.
That's what he reminds me. As soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh my God, it's Hakushi.
I never read the book. I saw the trailer. No, I won't worry about it.
Isn't Harrison Ford in that too?
Yeah, Harrison Ford's in it. Yeah. Yeah. I think he plays the same character he does in Paranoid, a grumpy old man. Anyways.
I just saw him play that in 42. He was quite good at it.
He's got that rolled down pat.
He does. Oh,
he does. Yeah. There you go.
It helps when you're a grumpy old man.
That's very true. That's very true. All right. Well, we're getting up to about a 50-minute mark here, so we should start maybe pulling things back down and wrapping things up, if you will. I don't suppose you gentlemen have anything to plug, do you?
No, not really.
Nothing going on.
Mm-hmm. Nothing going on. Well,
if I had my own podcast, I would plug it. But
or your own website or Twitter account or anything along those lines. All right. Well, I am going to plug my Twitter real quick. You can get a hold of me at PVDMVP. You can also shoot me an email if you prefer a more archaic way of communication. PVDcast@mail.com. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for Orlando's faves. I only have one, and it's really kind of a little bit, I don't know, maybe a little bit lame, but I would like to say that my fave for this edition of the PVDcast is WrestleOhio.com. Now, why I'm saying that is because the guys at WrestleOhio.com have been nice enough to have the PVDcast pulled into their, their little, podcast section on the website.
The roster.
I'm on the roster. That's right. I got the call-up from the minor leagues of the call-up, man, you know. Marc-Andre Fleury's hurt. I'm making the best of it, you know. So I really appreciate those guys really helping me out with that. And I'm just going to say, I think that if you go to WrestleOhio.com, which you should, because it is, if you want news about what's going on in independent pro wrestling in Ohio, I think that's the website. I really think that they have done a very good job over the last couple of years of really becoming the preeminent place to get news about what events are coming up. They do interviews with guys from Ohio and all that jazz. So I highly recommend you guys check out WrestleOhio.com. Listen to all the podcasts that are there. I know there's quite a few over on that section. Listen to them all. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want you to really listen to this one all the time. But, you know, support the other guys, if you will.
You could download them. You don't have to listen to them. But, you know,
well, you could. Yeah, you could.
Give them their numbers.
There you go. Nicely done. Nicely done. Anyways, one of the things I mentioned, too, real quick, I guess this would be some house cleaning items, but it's at the end of the podcast instead of at the beginning. But I mentioned that there's some big changes coming to this particular podcast, and one of those changes is actually going to be happening on the next edition. The next edition of the PVDcast is something I'm going to start doing every once in a while called Book It. Now, what it is I'm going to sit down with a guest, and we are going to book a territory or a promotion from a particular year, and we're just going to work out major storylines, talent that we would use, talent that we would get rid of, all the ins and outs, and book it out from like 6, 8 months, maybe 12 months, and try to make it as entertaining as we can. So next time, Adam Michaels, my good friend and colleague from OCW, we're going to sit down, we're going to book out a particular promotion, though I'm going to keep that under wraps right now. I'm not going to reveal what promotion it is or what time frame, but I'm very excited about it. I'm looking forward to it, and I already have another one tentatively scheduled with another guest. I know I'm not going to reveal who that is either later on down the line, and I'm very excited for that one, although that one is going to be hard, I think. Very hard. So, but next time, book it with yours truly and Adam Michaels on the PVDcast. With that, gentlemen, thanks for coming on the PVDcast. It's been fun.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
Problem.
All right, and with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.